May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. A quick note before I begin. I said, may the words of my mouth, and I mean it, but they are actually not my words. You may recall a few weeks ago that Mark preached on my behalf a sermon that I had written. I think that Mark feels that turnabout is fair play, so he wrote this sermon, and I think that you will see in places that it's his words and not mine, but we'll begin. So Mark likes to start with the text of the day, and the text that he takes for this sermon is from the 13th verse of the first chapter of Colossians. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Maybe it's just a gift of providence that this last Sunday of the church year always falls in November. It's a gift because it gives us a moment after the seasons of campaigns and elections has come to an end to reflect on an aspect of our own belief that we often overlook, about who Jesus is supposed to be for us, not back then, but right now. The way the church does that is to conclude our curious calendar with an emphasis on the idea that Jesus is not just a figure in history, not just an ancient teacher, not just a complicated theological proposition, not just a baby in the manger. He is the conqueror of death and sin. He is the final winner over evil. He is our king, not our governor, not our president, our ruler. We are not necessarily people who like the idea of being ruled. Governed, maybe. Consulted, certainly. Respected, ideally. But ruled? Democracy is always messy. But at least we feel that we can raise our voices in protest when we don't like the outcomes we get. But heaven is, well, the kingdom of heaven. It's not the republic of heaven. We don't get a vote. We get a ruler. The good news is that this ruler is not like any we've ever known. Today, the gospel gives us a glimpse of Jesus doing something characteristic of a ruler. He is sitting in judgment, handing out forgiveness. You may even imagine him issuing pardons for convicted criminals in a spiritual sense. Of course, the thief in this story knows he's in need of forgiveness. Down through the ages, he's been called the penitent thief because he has the wisdom to acknowledge his guilt and ask for forgiveness. But Jesus doesn't just offer forgiveness to those who know they need it. He offers it also to people who are absolutely certain that they are in the midst of doing the most righteous thing that they've ever done by killing him. And this is where the story gets hard, because Jesus is doing a kingly thing from a very unkingly place. He is passing judgment and extending forgiveness to everyone else, even to us, while he himself is being executed on a cross. Just bring that image to mind for a moment and consider what an upside-down picture it is from the images we have of leadership in our own day. We don't have to look very far to see leaders in very kingly places doing very unkingly things. Shepherds who scatter and destroy the sheep. The kingdom of heaven is a place where the charter of citizenship is written in the commandments given to us by the king that Jesus is finally revealed to be in the end. Those commandments are very simple. Love God as fully and completely as you can, and love your neighbor as you do yourself. That is the constitution of this kingdom. All the rest are details. All of the judgments, all of the laws, all of the parking ordinances, all of the zoning restrictions, even all of the immigration rules, all of it is subject to those two constitutional foundation stones. Love God and love each other as we love ourselves. And again, we don't have to look very far to see governments that don't work anything like that. When we go home to Newton or Watertown or Waltham or Worcester or Brookline or to any of the other places that we come from, we go back to places that are smaller expressions of the order of this world. At least in those places, we get a voice to change things. And we can use the things we learn here to try to make those places more, well, more merciful, more just, more hopeful, more loving. But when we gather together here, things are different. When we cross the curb and come onto the grounds of St. John's, we are entering into the embassy of the kingdom of heaven. We are the sovereign territory of our king here on earth. We are here, when we are here, we are subject to the rules of this kingdom. Here we are citizenship, here our citizenship depends on learning the disciplines of encouraging each other, of forgiving each other, of caring about each other, and of being strengthened by all of that to go represent this place out in that world. But there is one way in which that world and this world are alike. One way in which our citizenship in both places have a common responsibility. You see this coming, don't you? I mean, you can look at your calendar and hear Tim Strayer's voice saying these words to you, and it's almost as though the slant of the sun through these windows at this time of year just prepares you for what is coming next. Yeah, it's true. In both places, in our republic in this world and in our kingdom in God's universe, both of them need the substance of this world to run in this world. No one, not the insurance company, not the electric company, not the painters, not the roofers, not the boiler repairman, not the oil delivery guy, not the garbage collection people, none of them gives us those things for free just because we're a church. St. John's, this outpost of the kingdom of heaven, has to have money to do its work. Some of it comes in the form of the endowment left by the people who built this place long before we ever showed up here. Some of it comes from the wonderful school with whom we share our home. But most of it has to come from us. That is our responsibility. And that responsibility, in no small way, is our privilege. How you respond to this privilege is between you and God, but here's a good place to start. I would bet that this place, these people, this community, is not something that makes no difference to you. I'll unwrap that double negative. It matters that St. John's is here. Maybe this is a place where you could find comfort or make relationships with people who aren't all competing with you for something. Maybe this place came through for you when you were in a fix that you never thought you would be in. Maybe you've just seen how much we've meant to someone else who came here when there really wasn't another place where they were welcome. Whatever it is, my guess is that it makes a difference to you that this outpost of the kingdom is here. So if you take that seriously, probably what you choose to offer back to the king in this place, what you offer in gratitude for all we do, should make some difference to you too. It shouldn't be something that you give without really thinking about it. You are loved here in a thoughtful and intentional way. The way you respond to your responsibility here should also be thoughtful and also intentional. And I'll just stop with this. It may be that we have a lot of work to do in the days ahead of us to heal the divisions in this republic, to bind the wounds that have lacerated and bruised us, bruised our lives together as citizens. Whatever you think of where we have ended up after November the 8th, how we got there has to be a matter on the hearts of anyone who lives by that love your neighbor as yourself rule. No matter what else that might mean, it surely means this. The things we are taught here, the community we create here, the support we receive from each other here, all of that will be more and more important in equipping us for our tasks as citizens out there. The invitation for all of us now, in this place that offers so much to us, is to offer back something thoughtful and intentional. Not a quick reply to the stewardship packet, but a deliberate act of responsibility and privilege here in this small outpost of Christ's kingdom. Amen.